All right, we continue, inshallah, and we have Brother Abdul Haq on the line for the Revitaskar program. We'd like to welcome him on the program tonight. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan. MashaAllah, Mawlana, you started the program with some beautiful words and beautiful advice. May Allah Ta'ala accept and may Allah Ta'ala make us practice on these sort of things, inshaAllah.
Ameen, inshaAllah. Jazakumullah. Yes, Abdul Haq, we have approximately 35-40 minutes for the program. And we all know the Ulama Conference taking place. We ask our listeners to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak make it a success, inshallah. And it was wonderful to meet the different Ulama Kiram from across the entire country. All right, to listeners, time for the car program. The number to call for the car program, 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 248855. And alternately, 082-580-8070. It's 7:15. Abdul Haq, with regards to the ABS systems, tell us a little bit more about the application, the anti-lock brakes, the ABS, and how many types of the ABS system are there?
Gee, Jazakallah, Mawlana. After very, very, very long, we had the question regarding ABS braking system. First of all, let's just clear the AS5 ABS braking system is concerned. It's not any magic brakes. You know, people think ABS system, I shouldn't have a problem with my car. But obviously, ABS braking system also has certain limitations and whatever the case may be. But, alhamdulillah, it is actually a brilliant idea if under circumstances and conditions, especially when it comes to rainy weather, or oil slicks on the road surface and things like that. It makes things a lot more manageable. It is very, very simple. All it does is when you apply the brake pedal, it actually has what we call a onboard computer a relay that actually reads the whole system and it actually measures the pressure within the system, of course only in the braking system. When you apply the brake hard, then there's a whole lot of pressure that goes through the hydraulic system on the brakes there, and obviously what's going to happen, the brakes are going to lock. In other words, you're now pressing very hard on the brakes will lock, and obviously when brakes do lock, we know what happens. The vehicle tends to skid and slide about, all over the road. What anti-lock brake does, basically, it controls the pressure within the system. What it does is actually releases, for example, let's say your right front wheel is locking up, and it will release the pressure individually on this system, on that particular line, so to prevent the brake from locking the wheel. And that is when, what happens is you'll actually feel it on your brake pedal. When you apply that brake pedal hard, you actually feel the brake pedal vibrate. And it actually picks up, it pushes your foot up a little bit, but it happens so quickly that, you think there's a shadow on the vehicle or something like that. But no, it's actually what the system is doing, it's regulating pressure to each wheel, each individual wheel, to prevent it from locking up. So that is when it actually helps you, assists you with the steering and obviously the control of the vehicle, which is actually a very, very good idea. It's a very, very old idea as well, but alhamdulillah, like you said, there are different systems, but all that happens, this is the basic system, or this is how basically all of them operate, and the others are just more advanced, maybe as far as your technicalities are concerned. More electronics involve each, solenoid, and you have additional sort of solenoids on the system and things like that. But generally, this is the way it operates, where it prevents the wheels from locking, but it does it on individual wheels so as to make sure that the brakes don't lock and you don't have that skidding and sliding. But remember something, this is not magic brakes. Even though it may be a very, very good system, if you overdo it, then obviously that system is also bound to fail, or I wouldn't say let you down, but again, I come to the point again, speed kills. You can't be doing 160 k's an hour and slam on the brakes and expect it to perform a miracle for you. No, definitely not. But it is a good system all around.
Okay.
And it's rather standard in most of the vehicles today.
All right, lovely. Let's continue, inshallah. We have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Malana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, hi my brother.
Alhamdulillah. I got a question for Abdullah. I got a 2001 Merc C200 compressor. You know, I get that message coming there, ESP.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's got the Electab
program.
Then the other message comes SRS, restraint
self-restraint system, yes.
Now, is that something serious? So maybe Brother Abdullah can help me.
Brother, how long has this thing been going on?
You know, it's about 9, 10 months now, I think, and I didn't bother about it.
Right.
Now that I'm listening to your program and I decided to phone.
No problem. We will try and assist you, inshallah. As far as the SRS is concerned, obviously that will be a red light that you will see on the system. SRS is your restraint system. Restraint system involves your airbags, your seat belt, and all those sort of things. When something like that is faulty, unfortunately, Allah Ta'ala protect us all from accidents, but if you do have any bumper bashing or accident or something like that, your airbags are not going to open up on you. They're not going to be there to assist you.
Oh, okay.
Right. And also, it affects your seat belt because within your seat belt, on the Mercedes, I can explain it better, on the Mercedes better, you have a little gas, I would say canister. You'd look, think about it as a big canister. No, it's a very, very small unit. Mm. What happens is, on an impact, the little gas that is in that canister actually explodes. You don't feel it, you don't hear it, but that holds your seat belt to a point where it doesn't allow you to move forward. So it, your seatbelt actually pulls back on you a little bit, so it doesn't give you that jerk forward and whiplash. It prevents major whiplash. So that also wouldn't work because that is part of your SRS system.
Right.
As far as the ESP is concerned, 9 out of 10 on the Mercedes-Benz, when we do plug in the diagnostics on the onboard computer, it's to do with what you call the steering angle sensor.
Right.
There is what we have, a spiral in the steering wheel itself, and that is picking up a fault. Over the years, what does happen is the spiral within the steering itself, either, you know, the coil becomes, I would rather say, it's easier to put it this way, it becomes disturbed. What happens is your coil, maybe you've got a bit of a bigger gap within the coils of the wire or something like that, then it will show you that fault as well. But basically, your ESP controls most of your electronic stability or all your electronic control things on the vehicle. If you have, for example, if you had a problem with your battery and the voltage was low, it will put the ESP light on, that, you know, low battery voltage.
Well, I did change the battery about a month ago. I put in a new battery, but the light is still on, you know.
All right. But did you have the vehicle put on a diagnostic?
No.
Very, very important. I would suggest that you have that done. You know, I'm not going to put you under panic, but ASAP, you know, the sooner the better, obviously.
Is it okay?
Because, you know, if there's something, eventually what happens is, for example, I would tell everybody, you've got one problem right now, you've got two problems. Then the third and the fourth problem comes, and obviously the cost factor escalates as well with the
right,
other problem.
I see.
Because what happens is most of these components are a little bit on the expensive side. Sometimes what does happen is, you know, you pick up a fault on the vehicle, you put it onto a computer or under the onboard diagnostics, you reset the program, and yeah, they do come back sometimes as well. But I would say just don't ignore it totally. Go and have someone
inshallah,
do the diagnostics.
One day I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
and what happens if I clear it on the box and if the message still comes again?
And then obviously, you know, the person that does your diagnostics for you should actually give you a printout on it before he does any reset on the computer.
Okay.
So you know what the fault was. And it's very simple. If the light does come on again, onboard diagnostics will tell you what the problem is, or more or less where the problem lies.
Right. Now, now and then I get a message, it comes there, your service expired by 15 days and it increases to 20 days, 30 days.
Yeah.
But I did service it, but, you know, well, private guys don't go to the agents.
All right.
So is that something to worry about?
Yes, what happens is 15, 20 days, what happens with these vehicles, they have two sort of service settings. One is either within a year, you know, you've got to do a service and then it will show you the days. Otherwise, it's got a 15,000 service interval. After 15,000 kilometers, the vehicle will show you that you've exceeded by X amount of mileage if you haven't covered the time. So it is mileage or time, you know, that decides the service onboard computer decides the service necessary. I'm actually surprised that we're having it serviced. There's nothing wrong with the people that service in your vehicle, but I think that's a rather simple thing to reset as the service light on that vehicle.
Now, you see, I said that I don't have that computer thing.
And, you said it's 2001.
Yeah.
You don't need a computer to reset that service light.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Can be done manually. But do you have any sort of record of your service? When you say, okay, privately, no problem.
Yeah.
But have you taken down the kilometers the service was done at or the date the service was done at?
I take the kilometers down.
All right. But you must also take, very, very importantly, you must take the date down as well.
Date as well, eh?
Yeah. Because within a year, you've got to do an oil change at least.
I do it twice, Abdullah.
Twice a year?
Yeah, because I don't do much running. I do about 5,000 kilometers a year or so. I'm living in Joburg in Jeffrey's Town.
Yeah.
So from Jeffrey's Town to Fordsburg, you know, is about 7 kilometers single.
Yeah. No, but I would suggest also the other thing is it is important that the guy that's servicing your vehicle, alhamdulillah, I mean, you've been happy with it, no problem. I think just get the service light reset so it makes it more easier for you to follow your service sequence as far as the vehicles are concerned, because you might have It's an A service or a B service or a C service. You know, you get different types of service on these vehicles. So it's important that you follow that sequence.
Okay, uncle. Jazakallah, ji.
Allah keep you all in good health and keep you all
Ameen.
Happy.
Ameen. Ameen. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Abdul Haq, uncle is lucky. He only does about, he's lucky, 7 kilos a day. Our wives make us run 107 kilos a day.
Mulana, the other thing that I was actually meant to sort of give a reminder to our listeners out there that it is come to that time of the year, you know, where we all run on holidays in December and things like that. And, you know, I actually had prepared a little something, but unfortunately I couldn't make it to the studio. But importantly, I think, just a reminder, guys, you know, that time of the year, start getting yourself organized as far as servicing your vehicle is concerned. You know, don't wait for the last minute or the last second to have your vehicle serviced, because, you know, we also feel it. Alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah. You know, we show gratitude to Allah for you know, the clients that we have that are regular with us, that are coming already. We can see them. They're coming hard and fast now. But, you know, I need to go on holiday. I need to have my service done. So it's important that, you know, guys, organize your bookings now. Organize all your service setups, whatever, you know, you do. Or if you feel anything's wrong with the vehicle or you're uncomfortable with something, you know, have all these things done. Because I know even 2 weeks before, you know, the school actually closes, we do give guys a reminder. But, you know, the mechanics also get busy. The workshops get very, very busy. The dealers get busy. I don't say you're going to get a slapdash job, but obviously it puts the person under pressure. So if you plan yourself and organize, you know, that I need a service done before I go, or I need my tires done before I go, or, you know, I need to repair something on the vehicle before I go, it is important that we start doing it now, planning ourselves, so inshallah there won't be any disappointments later.
All right. A reminder also to listeners, like we spoke about it earlier this afternoon, there's more bad news for motorists. Petrol hike is expected in November, and I think possibly next Wednesday. So basically the recent, you know, strengthening of the rand against the United States dollar has not been enough to prevent, you know, some may call it a hefty fuel price hike for November.
Mm-hmm.
This is the news from the AA. So regarding this, we find that the deficit has not been made up. You know, dear listeners, even though the rand has been slightly stronger in the last couple of days, but what's happening in the meantime is that international petroleum prices, it's been steady for the last 2 weeks of October, but somehow it has flattened, and with the result we find that petrol is set to rise by about 45 cents a litre. So, dear listeners, petrol is going to rise by approximately 45 cents a litre. Diesel is going to rise by 64 cents a litre. And paraffin rises by approximately 57 cents a litre. So yes, it's quite a bit. 45 cents for petrol, 64 cents diesel, and paraffin going up by 57 cents. Allah give us barakat in our risk and sustenance, inshallah. Ameen. All right, let's continue, inshallah. Number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. SMS numbers 0825-8080-70, and alternative 48855. Abdul Haq, question coming through. What are some of the causes of engine bearing failure? Somebody asked me a few days ago, what about dirt contamination? Does this cause, will it often cause premature bearing failure? Oh. Dirt contamination in the crankshaft.
Gee, Molana, unfortunately that is a major culprit, contamination. And Molana, that boils down to one simple thing again. In fact, I had a vehicle last week in the workshop, and unfortunately generates one of the VW products. But I don't blame the product itself. It is, more negligence, I think, on the part of the owner of the vehicle, where lack of service, lack of oil change. Molana, I actually had to scrape off, it becomes like grime, like grease in the sump itself. You've got to remove the sump, you've got to clean the sump, you've got to clean the pickup for the sump and all those sort of things. And because of lack of oil or poor circulation or poor oil pressure, definitely premature bearing, not only the bearings or rings, but also the camshaft, the rockers in the camshaft, the timing chains, those vehicles that have timing chains also get affected it actually stretches the timing chain. Then you've got your camshaft gears and all these sort of things definitely get prematurely, worn down. And also, importantly, Marana, we always say this, I know Adil loves this one, is the mere fact that you put a cheap quality oil in the vehicle doesn't mean you had a service done. Especially with today's vehicles, it's a high performance vehicle, it's a high performance engine. You've got to put a good quality, like we said much earlier, hoedkoop is dierkoop, if you're going to go and put a very, very cheap oil, in one of these high performance vehicles, it's not going to be sufficient to lubricate everything. And, as a result, you get the contamination, in the oil itself, the sludge that could build up in the vehicle. That's because not servicing on time, using a poor quality oil, all these things can create contamination within the system. And especially with us that drive, our brother that phoned us just now from JP, he says he goes to Ford, but he does 5,000 kilometers only. This stop-start is I wouldn't say it's but it does contribute in a way, with all the stop-start that it contaminates the oil of the vehicle. With the result, what we have is, poor lubrication. And also the other thing is, for example, on the VW, we have specifically mentioned a sump service. And the sump service entails removing the engine sump, removing the sif or the filter or the pickup on the oil pump, and cleaning it thoroughly, clean the sump thoroughly, put everything back together, and that helps the VWs quite a bit. But Jim and I, it's very, very important, as we always say it, and I think I've mentioned this before on air, is, if you see the wife at home when she fries samosas, she can only fry X amount of samosas before the oil loses its properties.
Mm.
So the very, very same thing with the vehicle oil is it loses its properties, and especially with all the stop-start, with lack of service. The brother says he has the service done, but does he have it done every year? How many, whatever the case may be, it's important, I think, that we do a proper service and put a good, decent oil in the vehicle, and inshallah, you shouldn't have something like that.
Okay, jazakumullah. We continue, inshallah, another caller. Apologies for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
See, my brother, how are you?
Compressor.
Mapa, can't hear you, my brother.
Sorry, my brother, what's happening?
The oil, the engine light comes on, right?
Which car is it?
2003 compressor. Mark.
Okay.
2003 C200 compressor.
Yeah. And the compression light comes on after about 40-50 K. Look, I only did one long trip and it came on then. Just got the car lately. Right, and I took it to one person who reckon got something to do with idling. Right. He said, look, it can be expensive. And we went to a guy that does it. So he reckon, he says, does it bother you? I reckon, no, because the light comes on and that bothers me. So he reckon, it's an expensive thing. He says, continue using the car, don't worry about anything. I told him I don't want to spend on it. Right? So he told me, say, don't worry, it won't let you down on the road. So I knew whether he's guiding me right or wrong.
No. Unfortunately, my brother, I'm not saying that he's giving you bad advice, but the advice is not good enough. What did he say to you? What was the problem with the vehicle when he put it on the dyno?
Look, he's got a listing idling problem, right? It's got to do with something on the computer, right?
Not necessary.
Not necessary.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Especially on...
You know what happened? The acceleration, he lost acceleration completely. Sorry? My foot on, stop for a while, put it on the side for about 2 minutes, start it and carry on perfectly again.
All right, and then after 50 kilometers, it's coming on again?
It comes on again.
All right. When he did the diagnostics, what did it read?
I don't know. I don't, look, I don't understand electronics, right? So
all right. I'll tell you why. On those particular vehicles, it's very, very important you look at that rather urgently, get somebody to do a diagnostic on the vehicle for you and actually tell you what the problem is. Because what happens on those vehicles, as far as I recall, we're just talking about lubrication on the engine side. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting sufficient lubrication, there is X amount of wear and tear on the chain and the gears itself. And it will show you the fault, continuous camshaft adjustment, because these vehicles have electronic system that alters the timing for you, you know. And if the chain is stretched or if the gear is worn, it will continuously adjust that, and the computer will then pick that up and say it's a fault. Although it may be mechanical, but it's there is something wrong with the vehicle. So I suggest you don't just look past it, because Allah forbid tomorrow something major happens due to that, you will regret it.
Now, when the no malfunction light comes on, doesn't matter. Is it?
No, but obviously your yellow engine light is coming on.
It comes on, yeah. Yeah. It's done about 155 on the clock, 155,000.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't look past any of these things. I would make sure I go in somewhere who can do me a proper diagnostics and tell me exactly what is wrong with the vehicle, whether it's expensive or cheap. At the end of the day, you don't want to be stranded with the vehicle somewhere.
Right. Plus, minus, what it is. Lowest and highest cost, plus, minus, you know, minor fault or major fault. Major will be plus, minus.
Look, if it's a major fault, like I said, the coming chain, camshaft and things like that, you're looking anything in the region of about 20,000,
25,000
rand. 23? Yeah. Yeah, that is, but remember what I'm going to tell you now. If, Allah forbid, it's the timing chain and things like that, but if it is something like that, and you continue with that, and if that breaks, then you're looking at about 40,000, 50,000 grand, which would redo the engine.
Right.
So I would suggest have a look at it. It might not be this problem. It might be something else.
The diagnostics will show.
But the diagnostics will show.
And shall I not so serious, Uncle?
The car doesn't idle properly. Sorry, boy?
You know, it's doing beautiful, I tell you. It was really more nice. Right.
Only no, the but the idling, how is the idling?
It just loses the power at that particular time. Park on the side of the road, start and go off again.
Perfect. Yeah, it might just be a sensor also.
Yeah,
but I just gave you the worst case scenario, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I want to know. The worst and the least and the most.
Jesus,
yeah.
The worst case scenario.
Exactly,
have a look at it and look at it urgently. Put a bit of urgency in the matter. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will save you difficulty. If you're driving with the family and things like that.
Inshallah, right. Okay.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue, inshallah, 7:37 p.m. No caller, right, 7:37.
If I could just elaborate a little bit on the last brother's call.
Sure.
The fact remains is, you go somewhere, you go and have a look at your vehicle. If the light comes on there, the light is there for a specific reason. It is there to show you that there's a problem with the vehicle. I would suggest don't take these matters lying down and say, the mechanic told me it's not serious. Because, for example, if you looked at the previous caller, he hasn't had his service light set for a while. And that's something that can be done manually. So I'm not saying they are not knowledgeable enough or whatever the case may be. Allah Ta'ala may be just withholding a bit of knowledge from them. Go and take a second opinion. Go and take a third opinion. Go and have a look at the vehicle, because Allah forbid tomorrow you sit on the road or you get into a major expense.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Question coming through. It says, I want to buy a Polo Vivo 2012 model 1.4. It's got 70,000 kilos on the clock, full service history. They're asking for 85,000 rand. The brother's got two questions. The Haq one is this a good car to buy? Definitely nice cars. And is the price right? 85,000 is a little bit too much. Fair price.
Yeah, I think...
Okay, fair price, Abdul Haq.
Look, fair, but obviously, you see, like I tell everybody, when they ask me the question of the value of the vehicle, I says, in my eyes, even though the car might be worth 50 grand, in my eyes, it's worth 100 grand, So obviously, go in, look at, go on the market, look at what the average price is going, and you do a bit of comparison, and obviously have the vehicle checked out before you just go and buy the thing. Have it checked out, It's like, so a lot of times when people come and say, you know, what a bargain this guy is giving me. There's a reason for a bargain. You know, if the man is in difficulty financially, then maybe it's a bargain. But, you know, on the other hand, you can pick up that, hey, you know, there's something wrong with the car, but it's hidden. And you don't pick it
85,000 kilos, 85,000 rands, it's fair price, but try and get it cheaper. But the condition looks good, kilos are good, and lovely cars to drive. Polo Vivos, G. Line number 3, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, how are you,
uncle? Alhamdulillah. Abdullah, bye.
Wa salam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, and yourself, uncle?
Shukar, what you are doing. I've got a guy who's got a 2006 Golf 5, full house, 175 kilos. He's looking at 75. What do you feel of the price?
How much is looking at, uncle?
It's at 175
Ks. Gee, Golf 5, how much you want to raise?
75.
75,000 rands. It's a little bit too much.
What would you say?
I'll say it's a little bit too much, inshallah. Maybe phone off air, inshallah, will tell you a little bit more about the car and how much to pay, more or less.
Okay, how do I phone you off air?
All right, you can phone on 8547022.
Oh, there.
Ji.
The station number.
Ji, my brother.
854722.
I just want to make sure again about the trade value.
Okay.
And just ask somebody else, inshallah.
Okay, but what time I should phone, Mona?
Just after the program immediately.
Okay. Inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But I think the price is a little high, G. In advice of the Haq, the questioner says, advice on Golf 1.9 TDI, 2009 model, how is it in maintenance and how is the power? Abdul Haq, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Molana?
Ji.
I think the brother got cut off there. Somebody must have been trying to get through to us.
All right, anybody? I asked a question, Abdul Haq. The brother asked advice on 1.9 Golf TDI 2009 model. How is this car on maintenance and what about the power?
Ji, alhamdulillah, look, these vehicles are very, very nice. Alhamdulillah, powerful, 1.9 TDI, beautiful engines, everything. But the maintenance is a little bit on the high side. Obviously, if we look at most of the vehicles today, you know, it averages out on the higher side with all the vehicles. The only extra precaution I would ask the brother to take on that on that vehicle is, as far as the turbo is concerned, you know, be a bit more calm with the turbo before you switch off the vehicle. Wait at least 2 to 3 minutes, let it cool down, and before you're switching the vehicle off. And inshallah, the turbo on that will last you much longer. Unfortunately, you see what happens, a lot of youngsters, when they drive these vehicles, they don't take that into account. It might tell you there's a turbo protector or whatever. Whether there's a turbo protector or not, my personal preference and experience tells me that at least 2 to 3 minutes after you've driven the vehicle hard, you should idle it before switching it off.
You
but
have
the vehicle
to.
Itself, nice, alhamdulillah, power beautiful, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but the diesels, you've got to make sure, the turbo diesels, you've got to make sure that after you drive it, let it idle for just about 2 or 3 minutes. That is the secret behind looking after your turbos. Limited time, 7:44 p.m. A few minutes thereafter, we terminate, inshallah. Though, the question coming about is, you know, checking and changing the coolant to today's cars has become a lot more complicated due to different coolant requirements. Tell us with regards to some of the requirements, what about the coolant strength, and also regarding the coolant condition.
Well, basically, very, very good question. Importantly, that we do a regular coolant change. When you say regular, I think now most manufacturers are coming between 3 and 5 years as far as the coolant is concerned. There are so many coolants on the market, but once again, we reiterate on the point that it is important to use a good quality coolant. Very, very, very important. You know, there are so many guys that mixes them at home and puts them in bottles, and you buy these coolants. I don't say they don't work, but importantly, use a very, very good quality coolant. Most of them that you buy today do come pre-mixed. The ratio on that is, if I stand to correction, you know, one-third coolant and two-thirds water. Most vehicles, that's what most manufacturers recommend that you do. Don't go for a 50-50 and all additional coolant. What you should do is every 3 to 5 years, that's why it's important to keep a little log book, you know, in your vehicle, you know, when the service was done, you know, whether the antifreeze was done or not, if it was not done on the third or the fifth year, you come in and you ask your mechanic, because sometimes the guys are busy, they might forget, they might slip up, and please just say to the guy, just make sure the coolant is correct. There is a special piece of tool that we use to measure the coolant level in the water and things like that. So it's very, very important that we make sure we do that on its regular basis. Coming back to the coolant, as far as you get a lot of guys that will pick up the phone and say, "But you know what, my car is short of a little bit of water.
Yeah.
Should I just add in coolant? Or what must I do?" You know, the car shouldn't be using water in the first place. If the vehicle is using water, then obviously there is some sort of problem with the vehicle. There is, or either your cap is evaporation or whatever the case may be. What I do suggest is you just add water in there. Whenever you take it in for a service, then you ask the guy, "Look, you know what, I had to top up water, I put in water, can you just sort my antifreeze out for me?" Because by adding coolant all the time, if you're putting a concentrate of coolant all the time in there, you're going to have way too much coolant in the system. And believe you me, if there is way too much coolant in the system itself, or the antifreeze, not coolant as such, antifreeze as such, if there's way too much of that, it will overheat the vehicle. So it's important you don't just go throwing coolant into the vehicle all the time, or antifreeze, topping up with antifreeze, because the ratio might not be correct. So it's important, if you're losing water, if you're losing coolant, then top up with water and go and have the vehicle checked out.
All right, JazakAllah. Let's take up one question here. It says, "I got a 2006 Ford Focus, 103,000 kilos. I have a gearbox problem. The dashboard says transmission malfunction and ESP fault. I had a whole gearbox done over by reputable companies, but they're not able to fix it. The brother says I already spent 22,500 rands already. The car is automatic." And also he sent a further SMS saying that the car is fine, just took it on long road rides fine, but just switches to limp mode. The auto technician tried to fix it, but the light comes back again.
See, Marana, very, very important on those vehicles, and all these vehicles that have these electronic gearboxes, diagnostics. We keep coming back to the fact that diagnostics, very, very important. If you do diagnostics, you will pick up that there is something, because most of these vehicles either have solenoids, electronic solenoids that does it, your gear shift for you, or otherwise you have what we call an electronic plate within the gearbox itself. And if that plate is faulty, your speed sensor, all those things sit in on those plates and things like that. So if you have a problem with that, obviously it will put the vehicle into limp mode. Because a reputable company, I don't have an issue with a reputable company, but my question is, if there was a mechanical failure, it would have been sorted out by removing the gearbox and doing all your recondition of the gearbox, because they're very, very sensitive as far as the clearances in the gearboxes are concerned. If he had the box out and it cost 22,000 rand, that means they have done something to the mechanical side of the gearbox. But how much have they done to the electronic side? It might be, like you say, auto electrician, but does he have the diagnostic tool? Is he doing diagnostics? If not, then he needs to have proper diagnostics done on the vehicle, and inshallah he should be sorted out there.
Amen, inshallah. Jazakumullah. It's now 10 to 8, and we conclude the program. Abdulhaq, jazakumullah for your time. My brother, we talk next week. Allah willing.
And inshallah, jazakumullah khair. It was only a pleasure. Alhamdulillah, we had some callers today. Jazakumullah to the callers as well. And for everyone out there, inshallah, go and have a lovely weekend. We request special du'as. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.